Forever! Dog!
Warning! The following podcast may contain torrid lightning storm hookups, rowdy carnival brawls between drunk 13-year-olds, and unwise drug and cheese cocktails. And if you can't tell, none of this is stuff Scott, Mike, or Jason did. John Gabris leads us on a good time in Long Island's Adventureland on Podcast The Ride. Welcome to Podcast The Ride, a podcast hosted by three real confident guys, not dorks at all. Guys, play along so our guest doesn't figure it out. I'm Scott Gardner, joined by Mike Carlson. Hi.
Hey, I am confident. And
sounds like it, yeah.
Yeah, my voice is very deep.
That's right, and always.
It's not because I have a canker sore, like way back in my throat today, which is true. It's because of my toughness. It's not because of the stress I put on myself on a day-to-day basis that gives me sores in my mouth. That's not why. It's because I'm so fucking tough, and I cursed. So, yeah.
That's right. That was very tough. Very tough. Jason Sheridan fits into this archetype as well.
I'm so confident. So my ailment currently is that I have some sort of inflammation on my left index finger, so I am on multiple antibiotics.
Multiple?
No idea. Well, an ointment and a pill. Yeah.
Wait, prescribed?
Prescribed, yeah, via the miracle of Teladoc. Yeah, I thought it was like a very painful ingrown nail, and that it just was not going away, so...
Oh my God.
That's my thing that I likely did through stress, potentially.
It wasn't through jamming on the guitar?
No, it wasn't through just like getting some tasty licks on the guitar.
Yeah, Jason usually plugs in and just like solos over some old Sammy Hagar Montrose albums.
But that's not warm up. Yeah. That's how I get into the zone. Yeah.
Let's bring in our guest, who I think we've done a good job preparing for our who we are and our types. You know, he's one of the funniest people in all of podcastum from High and Mighty and Action Boys. John Gabris is here.
I actually am unduly confident, so it's smart to bring me in. I'll bring that kind of energy for you guys.
Good, thank you.
Needed.
My only physical ailments are ones I've been dealing with forever. Obesity, small dick, you know, like well, arguably one really helping the other one shine.
What a pairing.
Yeah, what a deadly combo. The devil's pair, if you will.
I got a pimple right in the inside of my nostril also, so everybody's doing great. Everybody's their best selves.
Yeah.
We need this as relief today.
I'm so stoked to be on Podcast The Ride, because since we did that live show in Chicago, sort of, we were paired, Action Boys,
we
and you guys.
Paths, yeah, in the dressing room, yes.
Leading up to that, the Action Boys, we cannot stop talking about how we are probably the two opposite energy podcasts. Like, because we roast like Disney adults, because we're just 40-year-old toxic masculinity guys. So like, we're just like, and it's like, it's so funny that we're like, again, talking about four quadrants. We're hitting four quadrants between those two podcasts. Uh-huh. All four white quadrants.
It would have been really funny if our audience stayed and then you guys just did the show in front of them.
Yeah, and vice versa. People who like watched a Chuck Norris movie in preparation sit down with you to talk about like the parking lot at whatever.
The Woodbridge Mall.
Ours was about a mall. It was about things that used to be at a mall that aren't there anymore. Interesting stores and restaurants.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, compatible threats, I'd say. We're glad you could be here to bring this energy and flesh out the quadrant situation. And also, I think it bears mentioning possibly, I think it's a little interesting that we were like, we've been wanting to have you on for a while, but in my head it was like, no, that's one to not Zoom, because we're sick of Zoom. We're going to do it in person. We're going to do it right when things are safe. And then you said you'd do it, and then you got COVID. Yep.
I got COVID over Christmas, and I was like, I should look at my calendar, because I think this takes me to 10 days, takes me to January 5th. Mm-hmm. Do I have anything early in the year? I was like, oh, I do have an in-person podcast recording. I'm like, Scott, I confidently definitely said yes, I'd record in person, but alas, we need to punt it.
It seems like it went fine. Seems like you're good to go.
I'm okay now. Yeah, I feel good.
Something occurred to me. We have a system that we have probably not used in years. How we're supposed to rank rides and parks.
Yeah.
Our system of it's keep it as is, plus it up, or burn it to the ground for insurance money. We rarely do this anymore. Maybe we'll do it today with Adventureland. But I thought we should ask you to do that with COVID or Omicron. If you had to keep COVID as is, plus it up, improve it in some way.
Ideally, we burn it all to the ground and get insurance money, or at least insurance. Health insurance
might help all of us.
Burn it all to the ground and give everyone health insurance. That sounds good to me.
All things to the entire country to the ground. Yeah, yeah. Start over. Sure,
I'll take another $600. Honestly, I just prefer not to be on a prepaid debit card for whatever reason this time.
Yeah, it makes it so hard. I did a podcast where the payment was like a $75 Amex gift card. I'm like, I have no idea how to like use this. And it's like, I got to buy something that's exactly $75, I guess. Or I have to bring it with me in-store shopping, which is not a thing you want to do these days. Swipe my $75, then pull out my credit card and put that last $8 on it or something.
Add more, and then the transaction is longer, and you're in the place longer. Yeah, that's no good.
No. You got to have like a code too, right?
Yeah,
usually?
And I'm not of the level of wealth yet where I'm gonna let $75 that I got for podcasting fall on the wayside. I'm like, my wife is like, you okay? I'm like, yeah, I gotta figure out, I gotta get this money in our account somehow. She's like, we're gonna be okay. And I'm like, well, you know, I don't make a lot of money, so when it comes in, I want
to
put it somewhere.
You're trying to like take the money out of the card somehow. I need the money. Where's the money?
You're
at?
Ripping it up with your fingernails is what
inside it. God, I have the money.
Like you think it's an envelope. It's like,
yeah,
like something's got to be inside.
Guys, hide the American Express gift cards. We'll do something else to the thing, Capers. Shove it back in your backpack.
Shit. All these Jeffrey bucks we were going to give them.
You were here today. You brought up this topic. I love when there's something that has not come up on the show and that like represents a whole area of the country that we don't really know about. And we are talking about Adventureland, which we should say is not the Disneyland land, Adventureland.
No.
And it's not a place in Iowa called Adventureland. This is Long Island's Adventureland.
Yeah. Not to get fully into Long Island centric, but I Googled Adventureland just to see if like before I came here, like check the Wikipedia and see if I was like, what do you mean there's multiple Adventurelands? And I'm like,
yes.
The most basic ass fucking name, but it's such a part of my childhood that I was flabbergasted that it existed elsewhere.
Well, and the one in Iowa just changed owners to right at the end of 2021.
Mm.
Like the people who own Kennywood bought the Adventureland in Iowa, and I'm reading this article and I was like, I don't think this is Long Island because it mentions Des Moines a lot. It mentions nowhere about New York. Probably. And then I was just looking at all the names, the owners, and so now I'm just Googling guys' names just to make sure I'm not like, oh, funny enough, it's owned by the... No, it's not. But this is the Adventureland that inspired the Jesse Eisenberg movie.
Yes.
Adventureland.
Yeah. Yes, even though in that movie that Adventureland is in like Pennsylvania.
That is Kennywood. Yeah, that was shot in Pittsburgh at Kennywood.
Yes,
yeah.
Okay, so that they shot it at Kennywood, but Greg Mottola, the writer-director, is from Long Island and based it on his, I think, his experience working at Adventureland or at least hanging out there.
Yeah.
Worked like carnival games, seemingly. I haven't seen the movie, so if there's carnival games in the movie...
I think there are carnival games in the movie. Yeah.
I haven't seen the movie in a long time, and if I remember correctly, is it Van Wilder? Ryan Reynolds?
It's Van Wilder, yeah.
He's in the movie. He's Van Wilder to me, baby. But Ryan Reynolds, I think, is in it, and Kristen Stewart? Yeah.
Stewart, I think Hader and Wig
yes.
play the owners.
Hader and Wig are sort of like the grown-ups at the place. Yeah.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Oh, and they have shirts that say games, games, games.
Okay.
That was one of the things about
hell yeah.
it.
What are the other characters' shirts say?
I don't know. I just remember they all had that on the poster. Okay. When you search Adventureland on eBay, you find the promotional games, games, games shirt.
I kind of want that shirt now, though, now that you're saying
cool.
it.
Deep reference. Wow. Yeah. Deep merch. What is, so
I like deep merch that... conveys something else also. You know what I mean? Like, I'm a fan of games in general. But if so people are like, oh, you like games? I'm like, yeah. But if people are like, oh, is that from Adventureland? You could be like, yeah, now you're getting like the bonus content out of it.
Yeah, this is what I say all the time about the toys I collect. You want like deep characters that people go on, who's that? And then you explain to them, like, because my biggest dream is to have a Michael Eisner doll. And I say, like, this is a first like edition Michael Eisner doll from 1989 when he was like fresh CEO.
Yeah. The Disneyest of all Disney figures I got right
here. Not Mickey. Fuck Mickey.
Fuck Mickey. Fuck Walt. It's the original Eisner.
Characters are made up. Eisner is real.
Eisner's a real fucking guy, man.
Yeah.
That action figure does not exist, though.
It doesn't, but I feel like I want to will it. It's something I'm mentioning a lot on the show, so it's like a dream for some. No one's going to make it at this point. The guy's 80 fucking 5 years old.
I think somebody can make it.
Yeah, somebody can make it.
3D printing being what it is.
You know what? I hate to really take us off on a tangent. There's a guy who sculpted a lot of like the old Ninja Turtle toys when we were kids and like a lot of the Happy Meal toys, and he just posted that he's willing to do like sculpting work.
Whoa.
So I don't know if he should sculpt the podcast, The Ride Boys, and then have Michael Eisner as their friend as well. I got to figure out.
That's where you run into a thing where you see that connection. You're like, all right, I can get us a cool gift for the podcast, or I can make my dumb dream finally come true.
You're trying to make those both happen at the same, though. Yeah.
I'd rather have Eisner. I'm going to be judging how I look in the, like, oh, that's what he thinks I look like.
I didn't know he did Funko Pops. He's like, he doesn't, dude. I'm like, whoa, that's what my fucking head looks like.
But if we're like the same scale as like the Muppet Baby Happy Meal toys with Nanny, and Eisner's like Nanny, and the three of us are like on the big wheel.
Like, you want him to
Eisner's shoes next to you?
That's a good point.
You want him to be our daddy is what you want.
I mean, yeah, I do.
Long story short, I'm looking for a daddy. Can anyone 3D print me a daddy?
Yeah.
Preferably that resembles Michael Eisner.
Yeah, please.
Your actual father is listening.
Going like, he listens to every episode.
I know.
Yeah, I said that I could. There was an episode where I said that the Full House men raised me in the morning because he worked nights and he got really upset.
Oh, man.
Does your dad listen to any other podcasts?
Yeah, he listens to like he's in like this. He like goes like, oh, you know, this off book podcast is really good, and then he listens to Doughboys and
my mom doesn't listen to my podcast, but I don't feel offended because she doesn't listen to anything but Billy Joel and Elton John, you know.
Sure.
a dad who listens to other, like, that generation, someone who listens to podcasts, that blows me away a little bit.
Yeah, he probably listens to yours now.
Oh shit! After this. Thanks, Pop. Welcome, yeah. Papa Carlson.
As long as you pitch yourself.
Sorry, Mr. Eisner.
Yeah, yeah.
You're not very polite. He might not get that listener. Mike's dad specifically.
Yeah, he'll try it. Now that we brought it up, he'll try it. He'll listen to the shows.
My dad worked nights as well.
Mm-hmm. I should mention really quick that speaking of off book, my mom finally has a phone that gets podcasts. And I told you guys this, finally attempted to listen to Podcast The Ride and put it on and said, I didn't understand what was going on. There were songs about bears. I didn't know what was happening. Mm. We did an episode with the Off Book podcast that was an improvised country bear jamboree that does not represent the other episodes whatsoever. So my mom finally tried. Why are there bear songs? Never trying it again. Damn it. I had my one chance.
Anytime,
should have never broken format.
Yeah. Anytime a friend from the past or a non-comedy friend who doesn't understand podcasting or family member chooses to listen, it's always like, I listened to the one you did about pornos with, and it's like, oh, no, like, they always listen to the one where you're like, I would never send that as the one to listen to. I listened to the off format one where the audio was really fucked up from 7 years ago. It's like, why? What made you choose that one?
A friend of mine from high school listened, hadn't listened, and he's like, oh, a friend of mine listens to your show. He said, and he said, oh, I went to high school with Jason. And he's like, oh, yeah, Jason recently mentioned a short story to crickets. Like, the response to mentioning that story was complete silence. Was
what,
like,
short story?
Anyway, let's, this happened?
I think when we were talking about the Impressions de France, And I said something about like writers who wrote about theme parks. And I mentioned a George Saunders short story, MacArthur Genius Grant.
Oh, you said we were like, what are you talking about?
Yeah. And I was like, oh, that's okay. Let's just move on. Don't worry about it.
So this feels like a humble brag that you're saying, like, oh, by the way, listen to Jason.
Feels like a classic relitigation.
It's a relitigation, but it's also
a reaction this time around, assholes.
But this isn't like I listened to the podcast and I was embarrassed what I heard. This was like, I listened to the podcast and Jason's smarter than his other hosts.
No, it was he knows more. Jason misread the room and was greeted with complete silence. Oh, okay. Was the phrase was
crickets
to,
was in, unless he kept going to say the crickets were
fair.
Undeserved because his co-hosts are dummies.
Which is true, but okay, your framing was correct.
We'll
I
try
apologize.
To get, if you can weave organically a George Saunders reference into this episode, we'll react huge, I promise.
Luckily,
we'll
there is a rainy pond in Adventureland, so you can shoehorn in the swimming in it.
Oh, like. Yeah.
I assume. I don't know the references myself.
Crickets.
Tell us your connection to Adventureland. This was a place that you went a lot as a kid. You live near. What's your situation?
It was a few towns away, but like anything on Long Island, like everything is 20 minutes away if anyone asks. You know, it's like it's a 20-minute drive. It wasn't bad. It's in Farmingdale, Long Island, and it was a go-to, like, treat destination. We'll take you guys to Adventureland, like, once a year was a thing from the family, but it was also a go-to, like, field trip location for high schools and younger. And then also, like, so-and-so's having their birthday at Adventureland, or so-and-so's mom wants to take so-and-so and three friends to Adventureland. Uh-huh. Like, so it was like kind of like a thing to do. I would compare it to hiking in Los Angeles. Would you like to go to Adventureland Saturday morning or whatever? But it was a fucking... And so we had Six Flags Great Adventure in New Jersey, which was, you know, way further away, but we knew that was like the real Adventureland felt like to us. And again, we didn't even know the differences between that. We just knew that they both had the word adventure in it. So it was like Adventureland is like junior, is like the little brother to Six Flags. And in reality, they have no connection whatsoever. It's just, again, our small world of like, we've been to Six Flags and that's huge. So this must be the little brother that's on Long Island. And we fucking... I loved that place. I loved Adventureland until you got to it like 19 and you were like, this is an arcade more or less. This is like arguably like a large street fair in a way, you know what I mean? It's not like, it's not particularly thrilling or exciting, and there's not cool vintage shit that you would be like, oh, this is legendary, it's been around since forever, like the Music Express. Oh fuck, they're still playing Get a Grip on this. Eat the Rich in 2011.
Well, this is you're historic.
Look, we talk about Aerosmith all the time on this podcast, so
you talk about, I'm sorry, I don't recognize
the Bad
that.
Boys the okay. Bad Boys from Boston is what I usually call them.
Great.
So what, I hate to keep sidetracking, but do you agree with Scott and I that the best Aerosmith song is Jaded?
Oh shit! I do
Jaded's,
not.
I don't know. Yeah, Jaded's a little like power poppy. I don't know.
Yeah, it's power poppy.
I like Dream On.
Okay, oh, sure. That's a solid choice.
Yeah, that's that's because maybe it's because it's the song when I first heard it, and someone's like, "That's Aerosmith." I was like, "No fucking way!"
His voice sounds
like,
different.
My favorite Aerosmith song is the one that doesn't sound like them at all.
Yeah, there is a disc. I remember like not understanding that once I getting acquainted with '80s, '90s Aerosmith. With like Wayne and Garth, Alicia Silverstone, Aerosmith, and like, wait, that can't be. That doesn't sound like the same guy at all.
My way into Aerosmith was like the first album I got was Get a Grip because they were cool from Revolution X and and those videos that
VR one that goes right hand in hand with Revolution X. These guys are up on technology and they rock.
I just watched a full Aerosmith concert 4 days ago.
What? on
Access TV. Oh. Which has all the rock and roll you'd ever want from all the different personalities talking about it. And Steven Tyler starts out the show in a giant Native American headdress.
Okay.
Good.
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 I'm not going to pretend I don't know his background.
I don't know.
I'm unwilling to weigh in on this either way.
I just said a fact. I just said a statement.
Yeah, we're all okay. Oh, yeah, you're right. You didn't ask for opinions. Okay. Thanks for the fact.
Would you say that's one of the biggest things the pandemic took from you? Because in 2019, 2020, you were really excited for the lead up to Aerosmith's Vegas residency.
Aerosmith had been doing a Deuces Are Wild Las Vegas residency. And I wanted to be in the pit so bad. And then
A Deuces Are Wild.
A Deuces Are
Wild residency.
It's a Deuces Are Wild residency.
One of the sort of famous Deuces Are Wild.
You know, you're very familiar with it.
I'm very familiar with Vegas and very familiar with Aerosmith. So this is starting to creep into my likes here.
I DM'd the Park MGM and I said, will Aerosmith be back for their Deuces Are Wild residency? And they said, we have no information about that at this time. So shit. It feels like no. It feels like they're not going to be back doing it. So
I'm sitting on Billy Joel tickets for the end of February in Vegas, hoping that doesn't rescheduled or canceled. I know. I'm just like spitting into the wind with COVID. I'm like, fuck it. I'll go to Vegas.
That might be okay in February. But I think you turned the mic off. Yeah, you're good.
Perfect. Podcasting professional here, turning the mic off mid-sentence.
Secret information you wanted to give.
Yeah, I just listed my credit card number that I used to purchase the Billy Joel tickets. Yeah. I don't know why. I'm glad I happened to turn the mic off there.
Sure. You'll be in at that with a specific time.
And it's from the sniper section across the other side. It's wide open. Clear shot.
No barricades whatsoever. Where were we?
We were talking about
happy to be in Aerosmith as much as possible.
Yeah.
Adventureland. Well, I saw that in looking at it on Google Maps or whatever. I noted from above that the physical space of the park I think might be a little smaller than the Target that's next door.
Yeah.
It is like there's not a ton of room at this.
No, place. There's like a mall that's like now like, you know, a sort of not a full-blown closed-in mall, but like a strip mall kind of thing that features a Dave and Buster's that's like a five-minute drive north on the 110 or whatever this is on.
110, because that used to be in the name of the park. It was called Adventureland 110 Playland. Really clunky.
Try to get land in there as much as possible so people understand that it's not in the sea or in the air.
Yeah.
It's not virtual.
People are very confused. We got to say land a few times, okay?
110 land. Playland.
So like a little further up on the 110 was a Dave and Buster's. And the rest of the mall, like the Dave and Buster's was like half the size of Adventureland. You know what I mean? And it was like, it started to feel really quaint as things got bigger. Like even like the proliferation of like SUVs made Adventureland seem small. You know what I mean? Like the second you were like 16, you were like, this place is small because you were just finally big enough to not be in awe of it.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it definitely is the definition of like a local park, like a neighborhood park.
Yeah.
And like I've said that before about Knott's Berry Farm, because there's like houses right behind it, there's houses close by, but this is really like, oh yeah, when you look at it on Google Maps, there's a Target on one end and then down the street is a Speedway, so it's like and it's just off the main drag, it's just, off the 110. And it's like, okay, so if you pass the Target, you're coming up on it. If you hit the Speedway, you've gone too far.
Right. And that 110 just has the most suburban Long Island bullshit, like all the way up and down it. It's like it's a main thoroughfare.
You got Buffalo Wild Wings around there. Oh. You got a Stu Leonard's.
Oh, yeah.
People keep saying we got to go to Stu Leonard's, this grocery store with all these animatronics.
I didn't even know that was a Long Island place. I think I went once in upstate New York because someone loved their hot chocolate or their chocolate milk or something. We got to stop at Stu Leonard's to get the chocolate milk. And I was like, I remember being like mad at the woman who was saying that. So I didn't go in.
Oh, wow.
My friend's wife was like, I got it. And I was like, oh, I'm fine. I was just like mad at the way she was, her energy. And I like did like the pouty thing where you're like, I don't want anything. And you just sat in the car. And in hindsight, I'm like, now I'm in a situation where people are talking about Stu Leonard's. And I'm like, fuck, why didn't I just go in the Stu Leonard's? A guy who loves to see new things and eat food and drink beverages. I was like, no, I'll spite you. You won't register it at all.
There will never be a moment where people ask on some sort of air, have you ever been to this place? Do you have observations about it? Fuck. Especially the chocolate milk.
Someone did warn us once. It's like, hey, be careful, though. There's one Stu Leonard's that doesn't have the animatronics, so don't waste your time.
Shit. Why, that'd be the one we all drive to. You take a huge field trip. It's only 5 hours away in Central California. You get there, and it's the one without animatronics.
Damn it. That happened to me in Dallas. I tried to go to a fancy McDonald's that had chandeliers, and then I got dropped off in just the most bitter, cold, desolate parking lot. Immediately clear from the outside, this was not a fancy McDonald's. Walked in just to make totally sure. No, bad. People sleeping in. All right, let's get out.
Did it change? Long
lift ride to get to the... Yeah, it was once. Oh. I swear, guys, I'm not making it up. There was a McDonald's with a bunch of chandeliers. That's worth going way out of your way.
How long did you drive?
Like 25 minutes, I think.
That's
made Aaron
so bad.
Do it too. Yeah. then went to, and then like, oh, there's a Chuck E. Cheese though. Chuck E. Cheese didn't have the animatronics. Total waste of a.
Oh, dude, Chuck E. Cheese. Not again. Not to go on tangents, actually, but I'm purposely doing it.
That's
now.
Okay. It's for the.
It's not a tangent.
A kid had their Chuck E. Cheese was a big birthday party destination on Long Island as well. We had a nearby one, and a person had their a classmate had their birthday party there. I went, Chucky, a big figure comes up, maybe Chucky, maybe one of the other gangs, but a costumed mascot, asks me for the gift. He's like, oh, and I'm like, yeah, I'm here for Samantha Lopez, maybe it's Samantha. I was like, here for her birthday. And he's like, and he like smiles and nods and takes the gift. And then later on when they're opening the gifts, I'm like, hey, I got something and it's not here. And it's like, no one could find it. I was like, oh my God, I think the mascot stole the gift. And I remember what the gift was because I was old enough, like I was 10 or 12 or something, but I was old enough to know it was not a kid that stole it, like a grown-up stole it, or at least a 17-year-old. And in it was, remember those like, scoop little handheld baskets that were sort of like fake high life for kids, you know, like you would throw like a wiffle ball back and forth with just like a plastic look. That's what the gift was, and it made me laugh so much that like an adult stole that. Like someone's like, oh right, hopefully it's a video game, and they just take it home and it's something that's like $7 and garbage.
You need a friend to do.
That doesn't even feel like, because we had birthday parties there. I don't remember like Chucky or Mr. Munch taking the gift.
Yeah, it was weird. Like I walk in, they were like, oh, and I like handed him the gift, and he's like, nods and like walks away, and I was like, well, you must know. Like just
Jesus, it'd be really funny if it was like not an official Chuck E. Cheese character.
Oh yeah, this is like this guy's very specific grift. He's like, I bought this thing on fucking eBay for $8. I can get anything I want from these kids.
Yeah, I'm an aardvark, and I wander into Chuck E. Cheese and I steal some presents and I leave.
Everyone there is stoned. They don't know. They don't know what the characters with the IP are.
Corporate aardvark.
Like, hey, who's the aardvark? And it's like, oh, I gave him a present to the aardvark. Well, there's no aardvark in the band. It's like, well, I'll tell you what, there's an aardvark in the parking lot.
There's no aardvark in Chuck E. Cheese. Everyone laughs at you.
You idiot. Like, well, then who did I suck off in the bathroom? What? I gave him the gift I was going to give the birthday boy.
He showed me we had matching stamps.
Man.
Oh, boy. Okay, this place. What about this place? Okay, any particularly like memorable specific parties, encounters, memories?
I have a really strong memory of... Really strong memory. One of my biggest memories at Adventureland, which was... I went for a physics field trip sophomore year of high school, or junior year of high school, maybe it was sophomore, one of those two. And the girl I had a crush on was in my physics class, and she smoked pot, and I didn't smoke pot at the time. I just drank. As a matter of fact, we'll get into it. We drink before the field trip. So we get 240s, me and some of the, and this is an advanced physics class. So a handful of the AP kids, we get together and drink 40s at 7 a.m. before we're going to, and before we're going to Adventureland. We're like, yeah, we get fucked up. It's a field trip, bro. We used to get drunk before school like once a month. Like it was like a thing. Yeah. I was a true dirtbag in high school. Like I was like, I the more I talk to people, I thought the amount I misread. I thought everyone's high school experience was like mine. I'm so like self-centered in that way. Whereas like, I got to UCB and I'm like, you guys are all crazy ass class clowns, right? Who tried to break a bottle over your own head at a party once. And everyone's like, no, I went to NYU for theater. And it's like, oh, okay. Well, I guess we'll never get along until you're like hiring me.
That's a small type in this community. There's like, there's four more of you. You'll meet them all. Yeah. Audition against them.
You're doing a podcast with three guys who are like, mother, I took too much cold medicine this morning, mother, and I don't feel comfortable walking to school. Would you give me a ride, please?
I'm still going to school, even though
I'm still going to school. My studies are more important than...
No, mom, my finger. Can I take a day off school? I'm on two different antibiotics. It's rocking me.
Mother, my canker sores are acting up again, mother. And I'm worried I won't be able to answer all the questions in every class like I normally do during the day.
My George Saunders report. I'm going to blow it.
Mother. Meanwhile, you're fucking hammered.
You're so, describing what is happening on another planet.
Yeah, this is like Nat Geo.
Movie.
Sure.
It's like a movie or a film, I'm imagining.
Yeah.
So we're drunk before school, getting on the bus to go to Adventureland, and we're like having a, you know, it's just shenanigans. We're like, we're so stoked to get there. We have to do some physics stuff. Like, we have to do some things where we're like, just like notice angles and shit like that. You know, like we'll talk about centrifugal force at when we're in one of the things. Like they wanted to, and we, but it was all sort of like, this is a movie for you to watch. It'll help you learn biology. You know, it was all like, get the kids, make them run around or whatever.
I remember that happening at like at Magic Mountain around here. But there are things that defy gravity. And does Adventureland even have anything that would teach you anything about?
Again, the more I thought about Adventureland on the drive over here, the more I was like, it really was very similar to the street fair that would like roll through. Or the Strawberry Festival was another one that would roll through Long Island. And it would be like the same exact shit. But so we're there. I'll just name the crush Joanne, which is my mom's name, which is weird. But this is also my crush's name, so it's not. I didn't make up my mom's name for her. I could have made any name. I chose her real name. So in case she listens, Carlson's dad, please get her on. You got to send it to her. Not the off-book episode, the one I'm on. Don't send her my podcast.
The one, the one on format.
I never talk about her except on Podcast The Ride. So we get there and she is drunk as well and she's being a little flirty and we were friends, but we only later hooked up once in college when we were both like adults again.
It worked out.
It worked out a little. Yeah. I got a strong ending. Made out in a pool during a lightning storm. So, but
mother, there's a lightning storm. I can't swim today.
Yeah. So as a strong ending, like we're like 18 years old, 19 years old or something like that. But I was like ready to marry her at that time. Like just, I was wow. Like, oh, you were my high school crush. I'm now cool in college and you like me. Oh, I learned I was like a drunken hookup for her. I felt the opposite for the first time. Something I had done in college a few times at this point.
Sure.
I felt the inverse where I was like, so like texting her the next day. So that was wild, huh? She's like, I know. I really, you know, like I made a mistake. And I was like, oh yeah, totally. Uh-huh.
This is where I'm at as well. Making sure you felt weird too.
No. I've got a lot going on for me at college. I gotta get back early. Actually, the short form improv team I'm in, got a big show every semester.
I mean, by the lightning, I think our brains weren't right.
Oh, okay. Yeah. It was very dangerous. I know, lightning in a pool. No, making out with you. For my social status. Oh yeah, okay. But at the time, she's just we're friends. I'm the funny guy. She has a crush on me. I have a crush on her. We're riding the Ferris wheel, and we the Ferris wheel, I think, was like, you got in, it was like a, you can be in like a four person thing, and it was like shaped like an apple, if I remember, and like a circular table in the middle. So it was kind of like a cocktail table at a bar, like a four top that you sat at, and then it just went around. And so we told the guy we had to stop it at the top for a project. Can you stop us at the top just 5 minutes so we can get him? And the guy's like, yeah, of course. It's like, I might be misremembering this, but it might have been like all of Long Island physics classes would go to this field. Like, I feel like maybe it was like physics day at Adventureland or something, like that. Sure. Possibly, because I remember the guy being like, totally. But then again, he was probably my age, like a year and a half old. He's probably a year and a half older than I was then, and stoned, and was like, yeah, fuck, I don't give a shit.
There was no question that, yeah, totally wasn't going to be right. The right response.
I don't get paid any less if you sit up there for hours. I don't give a fuck. So he puts us up there, and we're faking like we're measuring. We have like a weird astrolab type thing that like we took from that the teacher gave us from the lab to like, but really we're sparking a bowl. And I don't smoke weed, but Joanne sparks the bowl. So she's like, Gabrus. Yeah, even then I was called Gabrus by everyone. I was like, hell yeah. And I just I took a rip of a bowl and I'm drunk. And I'm 16. I'm drunk. I've been drinking for a few years, but I've never smoked pot. Now I'm maybe arguably cross-faded. It was so fun. It was like magical. And in my head, I'm seeing like this is like a teen romance movie.
Oh, yeah.
We're like smoking pot at the top. It's gonna be fucking great. So then we go to get snacks and we go to the concession stand. We're in line at the concession stand. We get up there. They have chicken nuggets. I'm like, fuck yeah, chicken nuggets. And they were like, do you want barbecue sauce or something? Probably honey mustard. Which dip would you like? I'd be like, I want the nacho cheese from the nachos. Like they had like a little peel back nacho cheese, and they were like, okay, and they gave me that, and I'm like, hell yeah. And I'm eating chicken nuggets dipped in nacho cheese, lit as fuck, giving them to people, being like, this actually rules. And people eating it and being like, yeah, it's kind of like, it's hot, it's really hot, it's kind of warm out here. And I'm like, yeah, it's fucking good, huh? And they're like, yeah, it's really greasy. And I'm like, oh yeah. And I'm like digging in, going ham on these things. And then Joanne and friends are like, we gotta go on the pirate ship next, which the pirate ship I think is a pretty famous ride. I think I'm talking to guys.
Swings back and forth.
And the cool thing is to be in the last row, right? Because that hits you the most. You get the most perpendicular swing,
Mm-hmm.
And I believe, if I remember correctly, the pirate ship, it either had the E had fallen off, or it, because it was like PI-RAT. I remember we would call it the Pirate. And be like, you want to ride the pirate? And it's like, it's got, and it's all themed out like a pirate ship. But we all refer to it as the pirate. It's like,
was that for physics day? They just took the E off?
Oh shit, I didn't even put that together. We gotta take the E down. Come on, boys.
Yeah.
So we get on, sit in the back row, and she's sitting next to me, and like, you know, like sitting next to the girl you have a crush on, your thighs are touching, and you're just like, it's not sexual at all, but it's you're like, you feel static electricity. Yeah, yeah. You're like, oh my god, this is physical contact of our thighs. And we're on the pirate ship, and I'm just starting to turn fucking gray. I'm like, oh my god, I'm stoned for the first time, I'm drunk, I'm full of chicken nuggets and nacho cheese and probably a Dr. Pepper or something like that, and I'm like, ooh, and I'm like really gray. And now I'm a grown up and I like know that feeling where you're like, okay, just sit, breathe, you're a little like you've gotten a little too fucked up or a little too dizzy, or as you get older, you know, like, okay, just relax, I'm gonna just get water in a second, I'm good for now. Like, but then you're just like, are you okay? I'm like, fine, get off the ride and barf in one of those green barrels, you know, like the garbage barrels that they have laying around, and I'm just like, I am so torn because people are roasting me for throwing up from the kiddie ride that is the pirate ship. Uh-huh. But the teachers are around, so I can't be like, I'm fucking hammered, dude. Like, so I have to be like, I think the nacho cheese was bad. People are like, you fucking... My friends who know I'm drunk are like, you liar. And even the teachers are probably like, you've been staggering and your breath reeks of fucking malt liquor. We're on to you.
Well, you should be commended, though, for being considerate enough to make it to the barrel.
Yes.
Make it to a green barrel.
I remember distinctly being like, oh, oh, you know, like,
yeah,
sort of like, I'm going to demonstrate for you guys, sort of this.
Mm-hmm.
Where you're just like, your cheeks are puffing and you're like it's coming, it's coming.
Yeah. Like you're, chicken books.
You're
kind
like,
of.
Yeah, like you're pecking. you're pecking.
It's starting to come out.
Yeah.
Like when you see a 3 or 5 year old do it, you know what's about to come.
Right, right.
But it's a 16 year old. You're like, oh,
16 year old in a backwards
here?
Quicksilver visor and frosted tips.
Yeah, frosted tips. Then.
Oh yeah, I had bleach blonde hair and or frosted tips from like 98 through 01 or 02.
So around this time period, that was just sort of the natural greeting on Long Island.
Yeah, you were
just like a salute, basically. Yeah. They're like, is he saluting us or is he going to vomit?
Like, welcome to the island, brother. Nassau County, I can tell by the nacho cheese, you know. But that's like my most distinct memory there, and it's like a highlight for me. And honestly, it would maybe not be as fun of a story if I never actually closed the loop and got to make out with Joanne. Like, I think I would, yeah. I think I would look back at that as like my one chance that I blew. Because that's how I felt in the moment too. I was like, it was really cruising for me. But again, I'm 16. I'm misreading everything. Like, you're like friends with a girl who really does want to date you, and you're like, that's my friend Janet. You know, you can't tell that she likes you. You're in love with a girl who's just like using you for homework, and you have no life.
Yeah, that's I was like, oh yeah, these two girls that like you, those are your friends. The girl you love, you've never spoken to before. Never spoken to, and you sent her a note, and she said she didn't want to date you. What's going on? Just the fuck. So embarrassing.
Like, and if I would have had just a modicum more of bravery or self-awareness, you could turn to like a girl and be like, hey, we've like hung out every weekend for junior year. Are we like, are you into me? Am I think I might be into you. And it's like, oh shit, should we kiss? Like, instead you're like, I'm in love with that girl. What? She's like 5 years older, smokes cigarettes, works at a salon. She doesn't fucking want you. You're sick. You know, you drive your mom's minivan when she lets you.
I had a middle school crush. I don't think I've said this on the show, who like was, I thought maybe I was like making my way in there. We'd like talk between classes a little bit, but she's a little bit like not really giving me the time of the day. But I'm like, this is going fine. But I was around enough that she could tell what was going on. And one time she was like, tie my shoes. And I bent down and did it, and I tied her shoes.
Wow.
And I was like, now she's there. I have just sealed the deal. My
shoes. She was going by prison rules, and you were going like, oh, this is the first step in our courtship. And she's like, I got him in my hip pocket. You're walking around class with your one finger in her pocket.
Scott's like whistling his way home. I tied a girl's shoes today.
It was like Cinderella.
Someday your kid will be like, Dad, the girl of my dreams, I tied her shoes in class. And you're going to be like, son, this is actually a lesson I can give you on love. Don't have many, but let me strap in.
She told me she was going to let me kick the football, then pulled it away at the last minute for days. She's done this for days on end.
I'm going to try again tomorrow. It's gonna, Christmas after
feels
all.
So great when it works, because there will be a win.
Yeah, and that's going to be a satisfying kick, too.
Worth the many, many trips.
Wow. Yeah, incredible that has a happy end. That there, that wasn't just like the end for you socially in several regards. But I guess, but I don't know. Other people, some people in that group must have also thrown up in similar situations.
Yeah, people puked,
I'm positive other people have. I mean, I would later be too sick to hook up with a girl in college. Like that, like, you know, it would be like, yeah, definitely, we're lining this up that we're going home together. And I just crossed the thin red line or whatever. Wait, what's the name of the Malick war movie?
The Thin Red Line.
Okay, because in my head, I was like, am I being anti-cop? Out loud. Adventureland also recently back into my brain and zeitgeist because of Good Time.
This
movie, which I fucking loved. Like the end of the second act, or a big chunk of the back half of the movie, takes place at Adventureland on Long Island.
Not even name change, just it, and you see it on a map, and they use the real address. It is just fully the place, which is strange that they, it's cool that they would allow that to come film here and use the name.
And because, like, do acid and kill somebody. Yeah.
Terrifying. I didn't realize that's where this was shot. And when you brought it up, like, oh, that's where, like, one of the most horrifying things ever was filmed. This true psychological nightmare.
Yeah.
Which, if you haven't seen it,
it might be more distressing than all of Uncut Gems. A very distressing movie, but I think the theme park sequence of Good Time is so unnerving.
Such a nightmarish.
Yeah.
Where they have to break in there because they left a bag of cash and a like a 7-Up bottle that's
full of
pure acid
or pure MDA or LSD, and it's in the haunted house.
So it's which is like a kind of, I mean, any haunted house, I guess, will be a little scary in the wrong circumstances, but like, that is a grimy, neon, upsetting, jarring.
Yeah.
Like, I was kind of horrified to realize, oh, it's that place. God, it's so, you feel like you're on acid or so, I assume,
right? It's pretty wild to like the idea of that chintzy, cheesy ass haunted house, if you're in the wagon driving through, you're like, this is absolute bullshit. But if the park, if it's just dark and you look in, you're like, that's the scariest fucking thing I've ever seen. Like the side view of a haunted house, you know, you're like, oh, that's too spooky. Yeah. But when you're in it, you're like, this is cheesy. This is, it's a small world, more or less. Uh-huh. And then when you just happen to like get back and look back, you're like, actually, it's fucking terrifying.
Yeah.
The break room is scarier. Yeah.
But it's the, so this is the, see, if you haven't seen the movie where the, like Robert Pattinson and I don't know the other actor, but they break into the park. Security guard sees them. Barkhad Abdi from
Captain Phillips.
I'm the captain now, and he like tries to find him, take him down, but they beat him up real bad, a merciless beating, and then steal his clothes. So then poses the security guard. He no longer has security guard clothes on. He now looks like a drifter, and they dump all of the LSD, they force feed it into his mouth, so that when he comes to and the paramedics are there, he seems like a crazy person who broke in, and he's just babbling, and whatever's happening in his brain is enough. I was like,
it's so, the movie is so stressful.
Yeah.
It's one of those movies. It's not a good time at all. It's really, there's very funny moments, but it's not a good time at all.
No.
Yeah.
I loved it. It was maybe my favorite movie of the year. It came out 2017 or whatever, but I haven't seen it since.
Yeah. Not when you're dying to revisit. Yeah. I did watch this part of this horrible part for this, and it is, it's great. I got curious why the Safdies were interested in shooting there, if it was part of their upbringing. And apparently Josh Safdie, the Adventureland is the first place that he ever saw bloodshed. He saw like dumb teenagers get into a really bad fight and blood splatter on the ground.
Jesus.
Really, wow.
So he'd never seen just blood hit pavement or anything in his life, and it was there. So just the trashiness of it.
Oh, well,
hit him.
Simultaneously, Adventureland was used in, I don't know what this is, Sherry and Lolly's Diddy Doodle Work song Bonky Lou. So same place, same filming location.
And I think if you keep reading, I read that same article, it explains that in that Shinky puts PCP all over Dipsy Doo,
yeah,
and they have a meltdown.
Yeah, so it's a children's thing. But
kind of a ripoff or an homage. We haven't had a chance to talk to the creators.
Yeah, so.
You can shoot other types of scenes there. Be creative, guys.
I'm assuming that's also what the scenes from Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt and Succession were like. So
yeah, that's a pretty big like film. Notable aspect of Adventureland too, that it's the first episode of Succession, and that it's one of the I think they've also filmed A Great Adventure, but it's one of the places that has represented the Waystar Royko.
Oh right, because cousin park. Greg is like a mascot.
That's where that happens. Yeah, he worked. Yeah, before he climbs up to be one of the six most important people in the company, he is super stoned in a mascot costume and throws up out of the mouth of the costume fired within.
In front of kids and yeah, I remember
that's where that happens.
And steals a child's highlight playset.
Oh shit, cousin Greg has been fucking me from the jump off.
Yeah.
I knew it.
He plays a character in that named Dodrick Dog. That's the
mascot.
The dog mascot. And then in another episode, I think Kieran Culkin has to dress up as Dirk Turkey.
Dirk Turkey is I'm gonna use that name in something like John Gabers has Dirk Turkey. Like that's so strong.
They do a very good job, I think, in that show of creating not just, you can really tell, and there's probably a whole episode we could get out of viewing the Succession universe from the theme park perspective. But it's so clear that awful corporate umbrella owns not a Disneyland, not a Universal Studios, but a Six Flags.
Right.
Yeah. This is so clearly with like bargain bin IP, and it's weird and dirty and unpleasant. It's like they've perfectly,
they're milking
conveyed,
like blood from the stone of, you know, it's like, we're not trying to make a lot of money. We're just ripping off, like, you know, get 1,000 of these bullshit, like sweatshop versions of theme parks
with
going.
Constant turnover. Yeah. We never have to pay anyone well. No one will ever work at this park.
Yeah, no one's gonna ever really love it either, but no one's ever gonna, people are still gonna go because it's a fucking, you know, oasis in a dry, in a desert.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, we'll always put them in somewhere kind of boring. Not a lot to do. What else are you gonna do? Go to they're called Bright Star Parks, I believe.
I think so.
Not go to Bright Star. What the fuck else are you gonna do? That's the tagline. They are Helsing at Kendall's I'm sorry, Logan's discredited, like, just put fuck in the tagline. I don't give a shit. Grow a pair.
Yeah, the show. Can we get a hold of the Succession show Bible, but just the chapters about the different company structures?
Oh, like, no, yes, we don't. Please,
we
yes,
don't need
boring.
The character background. We just want the corporate structure of Waystar Royco.
Yes, yes. I want to read the annual report and the profit margins of their crappy theme parks.
Oh, I can't wait till, like, all right, guys, spoilers for the upcoming season of Succession, but it looks like they start turning a profit on the European Bright Star Park. It's like, what? How is that a spoiler? Are you guys watching the show? This is what you're taking from it?
Euro Bright Star. I can't wait. There's one other good, a similar nonsense to what you read, Jason, in terms of things that have filmed there. This is in the Wikipedia. That an advertisement for Daniel Keemstar Keem's Cotton Candy G Fuel flavor filmed at Adventureland.
Yeah, Keemstar, of course, one of the, a streamer, video game streamer, who just now has like millions of followers on social media and everything. And
he's just one of those dudes who's become just like an advertising. They become like advertising companies. Yeah. What agency? That's the word agency. I'm looking for. Oh, yeah, advertising. Yeah. They just become advertising agencies where it's like, products come to me. I make an ad for it. Whether that ad is just me going, I love blank, or, you know, here's my cotton candy G Fuel.
Yes. But then just on his own accounts, just post the most insane thought that comes into his head. We'll just tweet it out.
Mm. Oh, yeah. I think I saw him getting roasted for some, you know, like a lot of these guys like to wade in on like gender conversations.
Current events. Yeah. Current events. Their geopolitical view is not the most.
I have good opinions, and I don't put them out there. Learn from me, Keem. You said something about the Safdie brothers, Josh seeing blood shed there for the first time, and I thought this would also be sort of antithetical to your theme park experience. But like street fairs, Adventureland, and the Strawberry Festival, which was like a kind of street fair that came through one weekend in the summer. The Belmore Street Fair came in one weekend during the it jumped around for every weekend around Long Island, but we would go to fight. Like, it would be like, you would go like, the kids from Wantagh High School are going to be there. Or, you know, like another high school was going to be there. And you know, one of your friends had beef with one kid from Calhoun or whatever. Oh. And it was just like, all right. And then you would have like an 11-on-11 scrum or a fight. I've been in like a handful of fist fights that were, with the backdrop was the fucking zipper.
Whoa. Wow. Wait, it's like, well, it's like, it's a setting in like a Street Fighter type game.
Yeah.
Like, do you go to these places? Because like, and it'll look cool in the background.
It does start to feel like Outsiders or West Side Story when you think about it. It's like, we're heading to the street fair, gonna be a rumble. You know, like,
yes.
Wait, did you say 11-on-11?
Yeah, it would be like, you know, it would always either be one-on-one between two kids that got bad and everyone joined in, or it would be a sort of a big scuffle, and arguably maybe no one really wanted to fight. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it was like,
yeah,
kind of like, well, we just got to get together. And it was like a Rams butting horns, you know, where it's like, it's mostly for practice, really. Like, it felt like just a thing to do instead of jerking off, you know, just to get aggression out. It's like, let's just go wrestle kids from another school. Like, the first year you can go to the Street Fair or Strawberry Festival without your parents is the first year you throw a punch at a stranger. It's a Long Island rite of passage. You got to go with your mom until you're like 12 or 13. Then once you're 12 or 13, you go with your friends. Then you start fucking whipping the fucking, you know, shooting the guy with the water pistol instead of the clown's mouth. You just start to become a fucking feral park employee.
The closest thing I have to that is going to a different set of kids' backyard wrestling federation.
Like, and challenging them?
A different fake, like fake fighting with different people.
Really know the rules. You don't like so explicitly. You know the boundaries, kind of.
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't know. There might be wild cards there.
Yeah,
I did. I did some backyard wrestling.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was a character named Aquarius.
Okay,
I came out to Dawning of the Age of Aquarius.
Heel or face?
I was sort of a Val Venus, like a fat Val Venus. Like, I was like sexy. I would do it in like an aqua colored Speedo that I had, and I was like a fat little kid, like, you know, a fat high school kid.
Scott, Val Venus was a porn star. Gimmick. pandemic.
I see.
Just in case.
Okay.
Who had in a very problematic scene had his penis chopped off in like 1998, but then they didn't reference it the next week. He was seemed to be fine.
I couldn't believe that they had a character named Val Venus and his thing was his schlong.
Yeah.
Yikes. Wow.
And don't look up Val Venus's Twitter for good opinions either. Yeah. I'll tell you that.
Oh, is he a 50-year-old wrestler? So he's either dead or bad thoughts.
Was at January 6th potentially on the table. This is, I think, everybody, all the like backyard wrestlers from high school who now have podcasts. It's time to like bring the personas back.
You mean to wrestle again? Together. Yeah,
And we want the like bring the, because who were you? Did you have a, or were you just you?
I was Fat Carlson, PHAT, and I thought I was like a heel. I was cocky, like I was cool, but I was not cool. And my promo ability was very poor. I
don't see it.
You believe it or not. Believe it or not.
I can't believe that.
The confident heel persona of a 16-year-old me. Maybe not up there yet. But yeah.
I developed some better personas when I was doing UCBW in New York, UCB.
Yeah.
We used to do like Charlie Todd used to run like a running continuity wrestling league that would wrestle on the break in cage match. But you would do a promo before, wrestle on the break, and then whoever, because he would have like a running storyline, and then quarterly pay-per-views at midnight, Saturday at midnight, would be UCBW only show. Uh-huh. It would be like 8 cards or whatever. It'd be so long and dumb. Like, who is this for? No real athletes doing it.
There
like,
was
like 5 people who had any physical strength.
I did a few of these out here, but they never got it going like it was in New York.
I think it ran for like 5 years. Yeah.
Yeah. In New York, it was
really
hardcore.
Long time. Yeah.
Yeah. If I was in New York and younger, that would have been ideal. Right.
Yeah. Now I would not be excited to do that.
Although my buddy who does news in Wisconsin, local news in Wisconsin, just had a match at a big show for like a celebrity thing, and I'm very jealous and upset.
He got to come in as a celebrity because he's a news celebrity.
Yes, and he got the pin. He beat Kevin Thorne. He pinned Kevin Thorne, ex WWE guy, and teamed with Austin and Colton Gunn from the Billy Gunn from the New Age Outlaws Sons.
Oh, sick!
And I'm like so jealous. Rage. I'm jealous.
I mean, I know it's its own art form and people take it super seriously, but it's something I've always thought about, like, I would enjoy this. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I could fall back on being a 48-year-old wrestler.
Every 3 weeks.
Just looking for an excuse to kill my wife and kid.
I know where there's a wrestling ring 10 minutes from here right now. And every like couple weeks of my buddy and I are just like, we could still train.
We could do some falls and shit. We could still do it. Power plant shit going.
I don't want to put you on the spot, but I would kind of be curious about if you could bring the energy of a 16-year-old Fat Carlson and do any sort of challenge. I don't know the lingo, but if you were going to like
cut a promo against, what was your name again?
Aquarius.
Oh, so you want to channel my 16-year-old self, how I would have delivered a heel promo to Aquarius.
Yeah. I like this.
Okay. I would be like, Aquarius, what you thought you did last week, that was out of line. And I'm here to tell you that you should come out here and fight me now, because I'm going to kick your ass. Like, this is the level.
Yeah. Maybe mine would be like, you got it, Aquarius. And for the record, I'm not gay. Because if I'm like 14 or 15, I'm pretty making sure everyone knows I'm not
period
gay.
Accurate. Yeah.
It's 94.
It's 1994. Yeah. Maybe WWE is right to have writers.
There's still a chance. I think maybe when I'm like 60, I'll stop having the fantasy that it's possible.
Sure.
I think that's fair.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd do some Mouth of the South stuff. Like, I would love to, you know, I would do a little management, like a little, you know, sneak the chair in if I have to or whatever.
Mitch and Weiger on Doughboys had Excalibur, who does color commentary play-by-play for AEW. And Mitch tried to get it. He goes, you know, what about the Doughboys in AEW? And Excalibur went, in what capacity?
It's a great question. And you're mentioning Excalibur now, and I'm aware who he is solely because of you.
Yeah,
you got me turned on to PWG,
sure.
Which like refreshed my love of wrestling, because it's been out since WCW NWO on Nintendo 64.
Sure.
Came back hard for fucking PWG.
Yeah, it's the greatest.
Am I making up, did anybody stumble upon the fact that Adventureland is in a video game?
It's
as
in the King of Fighters 97. Yeah.
Wow.
The
wow.
SNK game. Wow. Well, that, I stopped myself from going down the rabbit hole because SNK was the company that did the modular arcade cabinets. So the arcade cabinets that would have four different games that you could pick from.
Mm. Not Neo Geo, but SNK also.
No, SNK made the Neo Geo system, I think. I stopped myself from watching like hours long YouTube videos about like the corporate structure of SNK. But yeah, Adventureland is a stage in King of Fighters 97.
That's crazy. Wow. Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. I didn't even know that.
Jeez.
I didn't even know that. I say, like, I'm an expert on Adventureland. I didn't even know that, and I grew up near it. Like, that's the real answer.
I was very fucked up there several times.
If King of Fighters had, like, a creative character, you could recreate your brawls from the old days.
Oh, shit. That could be wild. Put myself in a fucking... I mean, the funny thing is that I dressed exactly the same in high school, like, shorts and Hawaiian shirts and, like, dumb hats. Uh-huh. I'm like, oh, I'm 40 and dressed the same way now.
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay, here's... I want to bring up a specific attraction thing, because I want to make sure I hit it, because, like... Garrus, you were saying that how there's not that thing that's like old and special, but there's something that might be a little close and that was restored based off of audience demand. Do you have any memory of a haunted tree, a talking tree outside of her? There's been several. I don't know what the scary ride was when they shot Good Time. But at some point in time, it was called 1313 Cemetery Way.
Oh, shit. That's awesome.
There was a scary tree outside of it.
I remember, like, I might be wrong, but, like, it's a face on the side of the trunk, like, built into the tree. I remember that image, and, like, its mouth moved or whatever.
Yeah.
I remember that image.
I'm going to play a video. This is going to sound pretty terrible, but you need to get the tone of the guy of the tree who it's like... Because it's pretty demonic. It's pretty from hell. And there's also, this is a back and forth between a scary tree, who is, I don't know if you could see it. There's probably a lot of glare. It is a very disturbing tree, I feel. And then an owl in its branches. And let me play this.
Wow.
That what was just said was, I wouldn't go in there if I were you. What's wrong with a little fun in the dark at Adventureland? And I forget the other exchange. My idea of fun is not being chased by a man with a chainsaw, is what the owl says. And then the tree says something about how he doesn't like chainsaws either. I had a close shave with one. And this is like this video is only 46 seconds, and I think that's the entire spiel. And it seems like this plays with that level of speaker tinniness all day, every day. I got the sense that if you worked there... This spiel drove you absolutely out of your mind.
Yeah, you would carve it on the wall of your padded room someday. Yeah. You'd carve that phrase in there.
You're carted off like Barkhadovsky.
That is a time where the distortion and the click-clacking add to the fear.
Yes,
to
the sure. Yeah.
That's, by the way, better than anything in a Six Flags.
Yeah, you're right. In terms
Much
of immersion,
better.
Character.
Right.
Yeah. I'd have to agree
like,
with
that's
you.
Actually cool.
And I want to... This is something we talked about getting to this Halloween season, but just since we're talking about a scary tree, I want to call this out. We talked about this a while back.
Oh.
This Hauntcast the Fright season, I would like to do an episode about scary trees.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of scary trees out there.
Yeah.
Not all of them are supposed to be scary. I'm a little scared of the Rainforest Cafe tree.
Yes. Yeah.
I'm scared of the, what's the toy store? Is it FAO Schwartz?
Yeah.
There were trees in the McDonaldland universe, apple pie trees.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't like any of these, and I would like to figure it out and see if other people are as freaked out by tree faces as I am.
There's a bosomy tree in the movie The Last Unicorn that's kind of scary.
Oh, no,
you know what I'm talking about?
I don't
like You hear me. You hear what I'm saying.
Weirdly enough, if it had bosoms in it before 1994, I remembered it.
Archival.
You put a poster of that tree in your wall in college.
On Action Boys, we watch classic action movies from 70s, 80s, and 90s. And I'll throw a movie. Well, you know, the movie of the week will be whatever. I'll put it on and be like, I've watched so many movies on TNT or HBO over the years as a kid. I'm like, oh, I think I've seen, and especially like a Chuck Norris movie, they all kind of blend together. So you're like, I don't know if I've, but then every once in a while you're like, have I seen this movie before? An example was like, we were watching The Howling and I was like, I don't think I've ever seen this movie. Feels familiar. And then there's a scene where like a woman takes her shirt off by a campfire. I'm like, oh yeah, I've seen this movie. I have this in my head, of course. This is still there because I watched this at the most like sexual developing time of my life.
Yeah, I humiliated a roommate in college because a girl came in and I don't know what, I guess I was being a real asshole because she goes, what's this movie Fair Game? And I go, oh yeah, he's got that because Cindy Crawford is topless for like 2 seconds in it. Like, I know exactly what the movie Fair Game is, and I just sold this guy out. Although she should be like, you know that too, you asshole.
Did you know that the book that movie's an adaptation of is also adapted into the movie Cobra with Sylvester Stallone,
which
nowhere near the same plot or anything.
Wow.
One but book adapted the two different ways.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Weird.
That's crazy.
Wow.
I think I have all those specifics right.
Did you know that Cindy Crawford's husband, Randy Gerber, owns the Casamigos tequila? And there was a story where George Clooney gave everybody, all the investors in the company, $1 million in briefcases and said, here, now you're all whole. This is a story that has come up on the podcast 29
a lot of times.
It's important. I love the Clooney giving. He gave like $1 million to nine of his friends. Right?
Randy didn't do that. Randy Gerber, Cindy Crawford's husband, didn't do that. That was George.
It was George, and he paid the taxes for everyone. And
the love with which you say that, Jason. I do think that's the root of it. That this is your dream, is that this happens to you.
Jason wants me to give him $1 million briefcase so bad. This has been, as soon as he met me, any person he's ever made friends with, he's dreaming of them handing him a briefcase full of free money.
Yeah. Well, relieve yourself of dreaming of me doing that. I'm not a real money person. I'm definitely not a briefcase person for sure. Yeah. Definitely an old duffel bag guy.
And you have to pay taxes on whatever's inside. Yeah.
You got to pay taxes on my 1099s. I'm fucked. I'm in over my head, Sheridan. You've got to help me.
Patreon does not help you out on that.
Please,
at all.
No.
No guidance whatsoever.
No Cloonies are they.
Is George Clooney like weirdly immune to like the Hollywood criticism of even the elite liberals? Like, he's sort of like so magnanimous and backs up his acting talent and he's not very out there doing a lot of shit either. So he like threads a very good needle.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. With these these are like, it's a good PR story too, because you hear, and Jason is just like imagining it.
I reiterate George Clooney PR stories sometimes too. Here's one that I've heard that I reiterate.
New story.
Could be. We have some people here with computers. Maybe fact check me after the fact. But I had heard that he does those Nespresso ads to take that money and use it directly to hire drone surveillance of like a war criminal somewhere.
I've heard this too. This is a good story, but it doesn't involve Randy Gerber.
And that's Cindy Crawford's husband.
Yeah. So
Cindy Crawford, who shows like the side of her nipple for a split second in Fair Game in the train.
I was wondering, because you didn't say immediately you knew what I was talking about, but I knew you knew.
Howie Long comes in. Broken Arrow.
Oh, okay.
It's Train.
That's where the screen train comes stuff, from. Yeah. I know that. There's that crazy yell he does. Do you know what I'm talking about? There's a crazy yell. It's like,
oh, in Broken Arrow. Yeah, yeah.
That is how, that's how he longed from that movie.
Is that like the Wilhelm scream?
It's similar.
The long scream.
We may have talked about this before. I was looking for it and trying to figure it out. Is that the Wilhelm scream? And I came upon the Google results on the website, not the Wilhelm scream.com. Everybody has to clarify that. No, it's the Urog, which you'll hear in a lot of like Haunted House, Six Flag Fright Fest kind of ads.
One of those screens is present in Adventureland, their current Haunted House from like a few years ago. In the last couple of years, the Mystery Mansion is mostly animatronics popping out and screaming at you. There's not a lot of story. But it is a suspended haunted house where the track is above you. You can see the cars here with the mascot for Adventureland, Alfie Adventureland.
I love
it. With the fucking superhero look. Yes. Like, it's like, we got to get kids in here. It's got to be superheroes.
He does have like a weird 50s. Like,
he has like a pompadour.
Again, an official symbol of Long Island.
Our superheroes use hair gel here, of course.
He looks like a piece of clip art. Here
he really does.
Yeah. It's not
he looks
a
like
ton.
You colored him in on a menu at a non-chain restaurant.
Yes, he does.
Well, do we love Alfie? Do we love him in spite of the way he's drawn?
Do we love him?
I like the fact that he's kind of like original. Even though he's just a blank ass superhero, like I
we
do like.
Love yeah, original IP at theme park, which they have with the tree.
Yeah,
I mean, this is a small theme park to have two pieces of original IP. Yeah,
that's true. Yes.
The L.
I looked up the food options at this park too, and there's a food court called Three Generations Food Court. There is a restaurant that is just labeled restaurant, which is very funny. And then there's a place called Tony's Tavern, which is just a stand. And Gabrus, I don't want to speak ill of this place. Tony's Tavern either is the most carded place in Long Island or the least carded place in Long Island. But their options are beer, White Claw, or spiked Arnold Palmer.
Oh, so, that is Long Island, dude. Holy shit, that's so funny. I didn't a guy named Tony buy it? Because I remember when it got bought in like the late 90s or some point in the 2000s, a dude named Tony bought the Adventureland.
Wow.
Yeah. Or like one of the investors was named something. Because I remember roasting like the idea of like, of course a guy named Tony owns Adventureland.
I would believe it. I mean, it's changed hands like a few times now, but it's still like owned locally, I think.
You guys have inspired me, and maybe we can do a follow-up episode, or I could do some like correspondent shit when I go back east eventually, when it's safe to travel again. I have two nephews now that are like 6 and 3. They're not old enough, but like it would be a good cover to get to go to Adventureland.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I could take you like, hey, Uncle John's gonna take you to Adventureland. Let's go check it out. He's like, hold this boom mic for Uncle John while he's got to cut it. Like, are you familiar with Podcast the Ride? No. Okay, hold on. Let me.
Adventureland has this little wall of big postcards from other amusement parks around the country, and that's pretty cool. It's almost like the park wrote a postcard.
Really?
I just saw that real quick in a YouTube video.
That's really funny.
Weird. Yeah.
I think another ride I remember being cool was bumper boats.
Okay.
And I don't know if that's I haven't seen that in a lot of like, because I guess most of my rides growing up were for traveling things, and I guess bumper boats travel not as well as Gravitron or whatever.
Sure.
But I remember bumper boats being really cool and kind of scary to get in and out of.
Uh-huh.
Like, you know, it was kind of like, all right, drive it up over here by the wall, and like a teen is going to pull you out or whatever. You know, it's kind of like you stand and it's like wobbly, and the water is like that fucking Lisa Simpson, like itchy and scratchy.
I'll say, on the current map of Adventureland, they are labeled rescue boats, so you know what you're getting in for.
Oh my god, wait, hold on. I think I also remember the boats maybe possibly had water guns on them.
Oh.
Like that you could like, you had like operated like a 50 cal kind of.
Yeah,
like
I've seen those.
Shoot water off of it at that's other people, cool. If I remember correctly.
Yeah.
Like other boats, but off the ride even? But that's really cool.
Yeah, that's more satisfying than like bumping boats.
Yeah.
Because boats are slow.
Yeah, they really like, can't get that much speed. Like, and I was always oversized, you know, for my age. So like I was always in the slowest thing. My bumper boat was always like water was coming over the side and shit. Like everything was just always like an extra difficult thing for me of like, oh well, I can't get the bar, let's push the bar down, you know, like
anything else you remember in the ride department? I feel like I don't know a lot about the specific rides.
I remember Pirate. I remember the sort of like Richard Scarry Apple Ferris wheel type thing.
Okay.
I remember games. Like games was big because like that felt like when you were the age that rides felt corny, when they weren't like scary rides.
Right.
Now I can have nostalgia for being like and I'm assuming you guys understand. I think I'm talking in the right place here.
Go ahead. Yeah.
Now I can go on a ride that's cheesy and bad and love it because it's not a fucking Marvel movie or whatever. You know what I mean? And just be like, this is so crazy. Someone built this with their hands. This is great. This has been around for 50 years. Yeah, but like when I was a kid, I was like, the second it wasn't scary anymore, it was like whack. And then, but games was like gambling in a way. You know what I mean? And that, like, that was fun of like, what can we come home with? Like, what can we leave with felt like a big thing. Like, I remember the shift in, like, I'm not, my money is for games, not for ride tickets. Like, I remember at one point where it was like, and maybe it was sort of like aging up a little when wanting to seem cool, you know, like not wanting to be like cheering on a ride because there were other 15, 16 year olds around or something. I remember distinctly a shift to like, the games are really what I do, you know, like I try, I play the hoop game, you know, they're all kind of sports actually, you know, I'm not like,
that's like when, yeah, that's like when you're like 11 at Chuck E. Cheese and you're like, I don't do the little like ride you go on anymore. I'm just playing skee ball because I'm coming home with something.
I'm taking that toaster oven home. I just need 2,200 tickets and I get the toaster oven.
I just need $1,100 from my mom to get that many tickets.
Yeah, yes, Dad, I know that if I wanted a yo-yo, you could just buy it for way cheaper than the amount of quarters you gave me here at this Nathan's, but just shut the fuck up and give me the money. So distinct, that memory of like, Jesus Christ, Jot, that I'll just buy you a fucking toy.
I didn't earn it with play.
On the games front, did you ever go to a place, it looks like it's 7 minutes down the road, a place called Fun Zone?
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
Fun Zone had laser tag, if I remember correctly. Okay. Oh, yeah, cool. So Fun Zone ruled. Fun Zone was like a birthday party. Destiny kids would have their birthday parties there. In my town, I had, I wish I can remember the name of it. Fuck, it'll come to me. But we in my town, we had one of those rented for 3 hours for a birthday party, and it has 10 arcade games in it, you know, like, and it was like the cheaper version because it was like the towny version. It wasn't Fun Zone with TM and commercials. I went to like 10 arcade cabinets in like a conference room and they served pizza and cake there, and it was the best because a free arcade at the time, even though you had console at home, a free arcade just still felt like, it felt like free arcade is to a teen as open bar is to a 20-something.
Oh, yeah, that's
like,
perfect.
It felt like where it's just like, I don't, like, even when you're in your 20s, you're like, I don't want to drink at all today. I feel like shit, but I'm not going to have to pay for drinks at this party, so I'm going to get absolutely blasted or whatever. Oh, it's a rap party for the job I'm a PA for? Hell yeah. Open bar? I'm going to fucking scream in the executive producer's face.
A great equalizer, the rap party when you're a PA. Yeah, it's like, we all eat this same reheated catering bullshit food right now.
I'll tell you what, it's very funny you say that because the rap party is a great equalizer, especially when I was first coming up, because I was a PA who was in his early 20s, super confident, cocky, annoying, class clown energy.
Yeah.
And so I was kind of, and a party animal, and I had been drinking for 10 years, even though I'm only 22 at this point. So the nerds who are like segment producers and writers on these shows I'm working on, I'm like, at the rap party, I'm like, you fucking bitch, let's do another shot of SoCo Lime. You know, and it's like, I'm like the alpha. At the MTV Networks party, which was like the big annual party that you had to, and they were such scumbags about everything at Viacom. But surprise, you had to work 40 weeks or 46 weeks out of the year or something crazy like that as a freelancer to be invited to the holiday party.
They checked your minimum.
They checked how much you worked because, you know, someone might get a 20-week gig and then a 10-week gig in the same year, and then they don't get invited to the... It was a huge deal. It was at the Hammerstein Ballroom. Mm-hmm. Everyone is there. Like Sway is there. Sumner Redstone is there. You know what I mean? Like, so even the PAs from Best Week Ever are there, you know, which is what I was.
Wow, I didn't know that.
So, yeah, that's our, weirdly enough, Paul Scheer was my level 2 improv teacher, and I was transcribing his take on The Bachelor.
Wow, yes. Probably the first thing I ever saw him on.
I think you're right. Yeah, that must have been because, and all now people who are like my peers were people like Donna and Danielle. Hubel, Riggle, like all these people that I would eventually work with where I was transcribing all their jokes. But Hammerstein Ballroom, huge fucking party. Everyone's there. My supervising producer at Best Week Ever, a dude who had written on Bill Maher before he came to Best Week Ever. So he had a WGA job when everyone else was sort of non-union, pseudo-writer, segment producer jobs. And so he came in and was such an alpha asshole. And he was kind of like the right-hand man to the whole EP of Best Week Ever, whose name was Fred Graver. He was quite a dick to me, so I'm not gonna let the right hand guy I've since worked with, and we've gotten our over it, but we were at the party and no one liked me on the production, not like the comedy people, like, because I was and I think it was in hindsight, and this is such maybe a rewriting of history, I was funnier than the people who did the comedy for Best Week Ever. Not the panelists, but the writers and segment producers would be like, this is a really funny joke, I gotta get so and so to say this joke. I'm like, let the fucking person just say whatever they want, shut up. It's Doug Benson, shut the fuck up. You know?
Wait, so they wrote the interstitial, like the setups, or?
Yeah, they would write the setups. But then they would also
like, was found.
Can you do one where you say something? And they would try to like pitch a joke they were proud that they wrote. And it was bad. And I think they hated me because I was like confident and funny, but I was supposed to be the lowest man on the totem pole.
Yeah.
Long story short, this guy, the right hand guy, he fucking at the holiday party, we're all in a big circle, everyone from Best Week Ever, all the behind the scenes people. Someone bumps into him. He turns around, thinks it's me, walks up to me, and I don't know this is happening. He comes up to me, he's like, Gabris, and I'm like, what up, man? And he takes my pants and pours a cup of like ice, like, or whatever's left of his like Jack and Coke into my pants. And I just look at him and I grab him by his collar, raise my fist, punch him once in the head, and go to punch him again. And like everyone, like all my coworkers, like grab me and pull me off of him. He's like, What the fuck, man? What the fuck, man? You can't just swing on people. I'm like, yeah, that's what I do if someone does this to me. And I'm like so worked up. And I realize, again, like we discussed several times in this podcast, that's when I realized I was different than the other. Like I was raised differently than everyone else. Who's like, you know, I've been working in TV production for 4 years, and I'm like, I'm 23, ready to fist fight anyone who challenges my alphadom.
From the mean streets of Adventureland.
Yeah. I was trained in Adventureland. My Sifu is an old tree. But wow. The Hammerstein Ballroom thing was always just the biggest bash of the year. Like, and your executive producer, who was like a 40-year-old woman who was beautiful and like now I know would be a friend of mine, like a beautiful, interesting woman who's very into music, and she's like married with a kid, but now she's like, take your fucking shirt off, like at the party. You know, like everyone is just like, it's flipped where you're like, this place rules. Because it's like, if you're 40 and still working at Viacom, you have a certain comedy energy to it, you know,
that,
for sure.
That is a legendary ECW venue, the Hammerstein Ballroom.
Oh, shit.
Insane bloodshed was spilled there.
Oh, fuck.
There's something Taz about it. Fucking Taz, Rob Van, like, there were crazy shit went down in that place.
A friend of mine got thrown out for jumping off the balcony at the party. It's like 20 feet in the air.
He just left onto
what? Landed on the ground. That's what smashed. Like, it was so loud.
That's what New Jack did.
Yeah, that's the only reason I know about the Hammerstein. But I was like, well, that seems like normal behavior for the Hammerstein Ballroom.
Right? Dudes jumped off that balcony all the time.
It's a huge balcony.
How? I think that's awesome. You threw a punch in the Hammerstein Ballroom.
Yeah, wow. And hallowed halls.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Took place.
I'm so impressed.
Oh, my God.
My forefathers before me.
Yeah.
Jeez. Before we wrap it up, people have other stuff.
I got one thing real quick, I think this might be new because it looks new, but one of my favorite of the attractions is just called Sports Tower.
Oh, that's so funny. Yeah, that's
and
recent.
It's just, excuse me, it's just, I'm getting the Wi-Fi here, so it just looks like this, and it goes up and down.
It's just a bunch of, it's every type of sports ball.
Oh, so you're just like hit a ball that goes up and down.
Yeah, it's like what you sit in is half of the ball, and then a giant ball is above you. So you're a soccer ball above you, and then half a soccer ball you sit in.
So it's got kind of like a hot air balloon
exactly
like, layout,
and it's like sports tower is what it's called.
That's awesome.
That'll
that's like where you get banished to, like as punishment. Send them to sports tower. Don't force him to play baseball.
No,
film it. Show his family.
I'm afraid of the ball.
Show his worst uncle him at bat.
I tried pitching one in second grade, and the coach pulled me out after one inning. Yeah. It ruined me. It did. It ruined me.
Along the lines of sports tower, I want to ask you guys something. Do you guys have like a feverish? Because I love. There's a million rides and a million parks that are just they go up and down, or they swing back and forth, or they spin. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I love the little flair that each one gets of like the sports tower. Yeah. There's probably one where it's Dumbo elephants. There's probably one where it's parachutes. Where and I love the example I always use that I my version of that that I love is slot machine branding. Because I'm a big Vegas and casino guy. So for me, when I go, I love finding like Arctic Wolf, you know, and it's just like,
the wolf ones are crazy.
Who's this for? And it's like, you know, it's like Montezuma's belief, and it's like a pharaoh and like money behind. Like,
there
I don't
are
know what any of this means.
So many pharaoh
the
ones.
Of the gym.
Yeah, exactly. And I just as a fantasy head, a lot of them are fantasy adjacent too. Like you said, Wisdom of the Gem or like Unicorn's Dreams, you know? And I like love, is there, do you guys have that with like some of these, as you see theme parks? It's like every theme park has the thing that shoots water and you fill a clown's mouth, but they, you know, but
what is the mild other spin that they put on it?
But you fill a pharaoh's mouth with water.
Yeah, I love that where it's like, this is the same game as that, but people are choosing this because it's called Majestic Buffalo or whatever.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Well, because all these rides are like, this is a cheap, like, this is an what they call off-the-shelf ride, which is like a basic ride any place can buy. But just the fact that there's sports balls, which what you call them, right? Sports balls? Sports balls. Like, that makes it so much better. Yeah.
Weird lazy theme. Oh man, I mean, this is from the higher budget end, but one that comes to mind is how there's like there's a ride that just is like scary, spins you up and down. Wow, you're way up here, now you're way down here, and you're facing the ground. It's like whipping you around on a big pole, and the vehicle itself spins. And it was in a Paramount park, so it used to have official branding, and it was called Tomb Raider the Ride. But then they lost the Paramount branding, and they just had to call it the Crypt. So it like all got limited. There was a bunch of those, like the Italian Job, the ride became Stunt Coaster, and now like how can we still make it feel like
without
something,
having to like change a bunch?
Yeah, not the real IP. The laziness of the Crypt, I like.
I really enjoy. That's like. Perfect. I like it's like Lenny Croft, the tomb divider, you know.
Pilferer.
I really like, we were talking about Dumbo the Flying Elephant recently, and how many carnivals and amusement parks just have an elephant ride. My favorite one, I don't think we had time to get to this on the show, but they're at the Lyon County Safari Park in Loxahatchee, Florida. So, like, in Florida, same state as Dumbo, they have Bulwagi's Flying Adventure. Bulwagi was an elephant that was born at this safari park, and it is very clearly they barely.
It's a cartoon elephant. It's not a realistic elephant.
It's not a recreation of Bulwagi over there.
No, but it's just the Dumbo ride. It's just like a less busy Dumbo ride. And eventually, Bulwagi moved to a number of zoos and was at Disney's Animal Kingdom for a little while. I didn't realize elephants moved around so much.
It's disheartening, man.
Did they sign Bulwagi?
Huh?
They like signed the elephant?
Well, I think it's either for they move for medical treatment or to make more elephants.
Interesting.
He went on a fucking cum run to Disney. Gotta go drop a few loads off, boys.
Classic.
The other elephants are like cheering for him as he's like a guy who's getting released from prison.
Classic Bulwagi.
Bulwagi, man. Bulwagi. It's like Alcatraz. They're clanging peanuts against their cages.
Give it to me now. I can't wait. I'm inseminating right this second. giant.
Magic. Yeah, the Dumbo ride is a good one because you'll just see that, like, variations of that everywhere. It's like a dragon that has like big ears and like along the trunk, and yeah. you're like, you just painted an elephant green and are trying to call this a dragon ride, aren't you?
And Disney's not going to sue them because it's like, well, most people are going to walk by that and call it like Dumbo anyway, so right. it's just free marketing.
Keeping
for them.
Dumbo out of yeah. the yeah. conversation, yeah.
And like Hatchatachi, Florida is not stealing Disney World's thunder at all. Yeah. I don't think.
Okay, let me get to this before I wind it down. I just this is something I should do more often with parks is look at Yelp reviews. Mm. This the Yelp review situation. I mean, there's a lot of complaints about just I have to pay for the wristband myself, even though just the kids are going to go on the rides. Something I guess to watch out for with the nephews. But you know what you're getting into.
I'll make a huge stink. I look forward to embarrassing my nephews. I drunkenly back. Argue with the guy about you. I'm not paying extra for nacho cheese. Just give it to me.
I have to pay for a ticket to enter this place. That's weird,
this
man.
Gated, land? Gated
private establishment.
But the ticket and the bracelet caused this other melee that is one of the funnier things I've seen on Yelp in a while. Let me try to condense this the best I can. Basically, this person, mega paragraph, so many paragraphs, one-star review. They're so angry. And it starts with complaining that sometimes you have to wait in a long line to even get the bracelet in to get into the park. And there are no bathrooms on the outside of the park. So you have to pay before you get to use a bathroom. And if you've done a long drive, if you've come in from the city, you got a lot of pee loaded up, what are you going to do? Well, you're going to be really weird and write a weird Yelp review
about
it. Yeah,
you got to go piss
it.
In the Target.
Well, that'd be better than where they landed. So, all right. You know, many people need to use the bathroom, but they won't let you in unless you pay. The management need portals for their customer. Portals? It's just the human thing to do. The staff told us to pee in the parking lot because we do not have a bracelet. We ended up peeing while a family and their kids walked around us. Like, there's
what?
Must have been a way to not be peeing next to the children straight onto the pavement.
Does this guy know what plumbing hookups cost nowadays? Hey, come on, buddy.
Give me a portal. Oh, no, I'm in Earth Prime. I hope there's toilets here.
Yeah, but what'd you wish for, pal?
And then this leap. Imagine if we end up getting in a video. I guess it's free advertisement for Adventureland. How humiliating for me and especially my wife. Reviews go on. The staff actually said to pee in the parking lot. And then he keeps saying shame, but he says Shane with an N instead multiple times. Urinating in the parking lot is illegal and disgusting. And then again, he brings, and these reviews are months apart, by the way. So he's fixated on this specific idea. We hope nobody took a video of us when their staff wouldn't let us use the restroom after traveling for hours. If anyone ended up taking a video of us urinating, especially with my wife and that position, we are taking legal action against Adventureland.
Holy shit, how does his wife piss? That's
what?
A question.
What position out? Are we talking about?
That's how she's comfortable. Who taking video? This sounds like someone took a video, or he did, and she's mad about it. And he's like, I think it was someone else at the park. And I gotta get to the bottom of it.
Remembering where I was, I couldn't have been filming you. There's a car antenna in the way. I think some weirdo put this straight onto Pornhub. Tits out wife Adventureland piss vid. So this was interesting, and then I kept going. Let me keep looking at one stars, and then I landed at, first of all, when me and my husband got to the park, we needed to use the restroom very badly. There was a long line into the park, and they said we couldn't go in without a wristband. And I'm like, oh my God, this keeps happening. People keep not getting to pee until they get into the park. As I went on, I went, wait a minute. The first review was Jeff D. The next review is Ann D. They're both from Jamaica.
Urinator.
I think Ann is tits out urinator. I just started, and both accounts involve somebody named Bob, a manager, saying after their third time at City Hall, all right, fine, what if I offer you dinner? And their response is, it's too late for dinner. I'm not hungry now. Like, the poor Bob is trying to do something for him.
Oh, man.
I'm full. So then, but her account adds another thing to the story. What did he want us to do? Go in the parking lot? He shrugged his shoulders and suggested that that's what we do. We ran to a section behind a car where both my husband and I squatted to go pee.
He squatted too?
Yeah.
The husband also squatted. Who made you squat? The manager didn't say you had to squat.
Yeah, it's also funny that the manager's like, the other guy's like, they told us to pee in the lot. Then her recollection is like, what do you want us to do? Pee in the lot? And he's like, okay. Like, he's just like saying okay. And the husband's like, that guy, Bob's a sick fuck. Probably got a video of my wife.
Bob wants me to go squat and pee in front of all the children, in front of the prying eyes of as many children as possible. That's what Bob's look conveyed to me.
I gotta say, though, I don't have an assumption of me being able to go to a bath unless it's like a restaurant where my table's not ready. You know what I mean? Like that. Like if I'm waiting out in line outside at a bar, like to get, you know, like in college or a club that has a long line, I wouldn't expect to be able to cut the entire line to urinate and then get back in line.
No,
that has never been allowed anywhere.
Yeah.
You have to. It's unfortunate. It sucks. You have to kind of plan for that. It's like, I'm going to run across the street to the Carvel and get an ice cream cone and pee in there.
There's a Target, a Starbucks, and a gas station along this same drag.
You would have like going into a theme park and trying to pee is the same as if you were like going to like, if there was only a bathroom past security in an airport.
Right.
It would be like, what?
It's going to be like, you know, a 9-minute walk. I mean, at Adventureland, 9 minutes, it takes you from one end to the other. Uh-huh. But like in another theme park, you'd have to like walk all the way to the bathroom and then like be escorted back out in line, or you have to like cut the line and buy a bracelet because you're pretending you have to urinate. There's no special treatment.
The people in the line are going to be mad at you. There's humiliation either way.
Yeah, it's like Long Island. Just piss your pants, piss in the parking lot. No one's going to give a fuck.
It's like is this like a piss scam?
I wonder.
Bob's got a fucking only fans. He's like,
it's Bob's. it's Bob's piss scam.
You guys want a dinner? I'm flossing with cash over here.
Oh, me, guys.
If you're in Long Island, go to Adventureland. Do not go to Bob Land.
Yeah, Bob Land is a very fucked up. They have the Sprite bottle full of PCP, though, at Bob Land.
Really, really quick, there's a little more to the story of them. Yeah. I was curious what their other reviews are like. And it's a ton of similarly unhinged one-star reviews of, like, they seem to, like, go to buffets in the New York area and get upset about different things. Like, it's COVID. The customers in line weren't using masks or gloves. I'm like, hang on. We've been in this for nearly 2 years. I have never seen gloves as a suggestion in any establishment. Also, where's your gloves?
You're taking your fucking life into your hands going into a buffet during the pandemic. I'm not judging you for doing it, but you can't go in there and be like, this is not COVID safe. Like, that's not how it works, unfortunately.
Definition. I don't think it was safe before, really.
Right.
But my favorite review that I landed at was a poor review for a music tutor, and the winding path that this takes, where it starts with music related concerns such as she rarely taught me any arias, down to then through a lot of obscure music complaints, she doesn't know how to teach the harmony, but then it gets into out of nowhere, she doesn't know how to drive, so many times she had me drive her around for free. Places like a wedding that we weren't invited to, where she made me and my husband sing without practice.
What?
Whoa.
I'm confused.
That was snuck in there, Andy, or whatever your name is, Ann M. Holy shit. I get complaining that your music teachers roped you into driving, but I didn't know she roped you into driving her to a gig and playing with her.
That sounds good.
That sounds like a dream come true.
Yeah, that might be fun.
And a good, like, rip the Band-Aid off situation. Yeah. Look, you know, pressure's on, perform.
Yeah. Imagine you book a singer for your wedding and she comes with, like, two students who are seethingly mad and are begging to use your bathroom and being like, why the fuck won't you let me piss in your wedding?
Do you have AAA, my check engine light came on?
Stop looking at my wife while she squats in the fucking parking lot, you sickos.
You perverts. She wants to squat and be in positions
like
in peace.
Me. This is how I piss. I tuck my dick between my legs so the tip touches the concrete in my deepest squat, and I just let it out so there's no splash. What?
the arc this Yelp
account. Let love lift us up where we... They all start singing. After railing about the lack of bathrooms at the wedding. We need portals! This wedding has no portals!
The arc this Yelp account has taken is more interesting than a number of short stories I have read.
By others like...
No, George Saunders stories. They are pretty good.
They're as good as some... Yeah.
Civil War Land in Decline? In Bad Decline.
That's right.
Yeah. That's a theme park based...
That is theme park. It's about a Civil War theme park falling apart. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Great story.
One more thing really quick.
The other complaint,
I think during these forced somehow without a gun in play, drive to a wedding and make you perform at the wedding. On these drives, she talks about things like her boyfriend and their sex life. And once she talked about how she likes the Beast and Rolf because they are hairy like the men she likes. What's Rolf?
Rolf is from Muppets.
Yeah. Rolf the dog.
He's the piano player.
Beast is Hank McCoy?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, probably Beauty and the Beast.
Beauty and the Beast?
Yeah, okay.
Or is it X-Men Beast? I don't know.
Is it Ron Perlman Beast?
Could be.
Yeah. Is it Kelsey Grammer Beast? Is it Nicholas Holt Beast?
I mean, all of our dreams are Kelsey Grammer Beast.
Yeah, yeah.
Drive me around, perform at this wedding... squat in the bathroom and listen to how I want to fuck Rolf the dog.
So we're still waiting on the Succession show Bible, but you have found the Requiem for a Dream show Bible.
Juice by Sarah. It's really funny because I thought she was going to be like, she makes me pick her up and drop her off, which is kind of annoying as hiring a music teacher or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking piano or guitar, and I'm thinking it's for her kids, right?
Sure. Yeah. She's like, these are adults who want to be operatic type singers now as adults.
Imagine you and your wife taking opera lessons together at your house, and then you have to like, all right, let's both drive her to the wedding. It's like, wait, what is this? If I'm her husband, I'd be like, look, please, you've embarrassed me in front of Bob at Adventureland. Take this woman by yourself to the fucking theme park.
Look, Gabrus, you got out of Long Island your way. She's trying to get out her own. Okay? And all the UCB is fucking closed. In Manhattan, right. So
yes, handing isn't enough anymore, brother. I gotta sing arias with my husband, unprepared at weddings.
Anyway, this is one of the best pieces of literature.
I know. Holy shit! Please send a link.
Thrilled with this. Which for that, I really have to thank you for bringing Adventureland, the wonderful world of Adventureland, an episode full of punching and peeing. And blood splashing and fighting.
Just like my child.
You painted a picture of your life. John Gabrus, you survived podcast The Ride.
Yay!
What a blast. Oh my God, so much fun. Let's exit through the gift shop. Is there anything you'd like to plug?
Yes, I got a podcast called High and Mighty, and I also have a podcast called Action Boys, which is a Patreon podcast, but we got some free episodes out there, so wherever you're listening to this, just search for it and get a sniff, get hooked. And then every Monday night at 11 Eastern, 8 Pacific, I'm talking movies live on Spotify Green Room, and you can talk to me as well. It's complicated in an app that's kind of difficult to figure out, but I'm enjoying doing it. I'd love to see some more people there.
That sounds fun.
It's not easy to find, but once you do, they hopefully will never hear this plug.
Still less horrific than whatever Clubhouse is.
Right. It's the same exact.
I see.
All right.
Hey, and as for us, you can find us on the socials at Podcast The Ride. Merch is available in our T Public store. And for 3 bonus episodes every month, check out Podcast The Ride, The Second Gate at patreon.com/podcasttheride. I can't promise that other episodes are as violent as this. I will promise that they are not. I think you brought... I'm not sure. Yeah. Maybe nobody but Mundy has talked about fighting on the show. This is generally the pool of the guests. So
yeah, talk about a guy you see at a lot of auditions.
Oh, boy. All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. That was good. See ya.
Bye.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Mike Carlson, Jason Sheridan, Scott Gardner, Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit ForeverDogPodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam and liking our page on Facebook.